At the World Summit on Sustainable Development this week in Johannesburg, one of the most contentious issues seems at first to be out of place. Farm subsidies and tariffs on food in the world's wealthy nations have come under heavy criticism. Poor nations charge that by keeping commodity prices low, rich nations create a huge hardship for farmers in developing countries. NPR's Richard Harris reports.
Farm subsidies aren't simply another one of those intangible issues that delegates at the UN summit are grappling with this week. Antonio Hill from the hunger group Oxfam says the subsidies contribute to the growing hunger crisis in South Africa's neighbors, including Mozambique, Zambia, and Malawi.
About 13 million people are now hungry and facing starvation, down to one meal a day, selling off goats, assets, chickens, whatever they've got to buy food. You've got highly unstable food prices. You've got food prices that have increased by up to 400% for maize in Malawi.
This crisis has many roots. Irregular rainfall is part of the reason. AIDS is also in part to blame because the disease is killing farmers. But a report that Oxfam released this week also points blame at global food policies. Here, too, there are several facets. One is that the World Bank and other lenders have told these nations to drop their own farm subsidies and let the market set prices. Hill says that sounds good in principle, but it has been a disaster in practice.
When these policies are introduced too fast, then it can have devastating consequences.
These seesawing farm prices mean that farmers get little money for their crops when it's time to sell, but the prices are high when hungry people go to buy food. In times of scarcity, like now, that compounds a bigger issue. According to the World Bank, wealthy governments, including the United States, Japan, and Europe, subsidize farm products to the tune of $350 billion a year.
It's a reflection of a fundamental hypocrisy, because on the one hand, you have governments like the U.S. and like Europe, through the auspices of the World Bank and the IMF, encouraging developing country governments, such as those in Southern Africa, to deregulate their markets. Now, on the other hand, you've got Europe and the U.S. providing outrageous subsidies to producers in their home countries.
And these low prices mean that the world price for many major crops is kept artificially low. That may help keep down the price of bread in our supermarkets. But Mark Ritchie, president of the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy in Minneapolis, says it has devastating effects elsewhere.
Corn, wheat, cotton, you name it, are entering these countries at prices estimated to be half the cost of production in the north. And it is impossible for a small farmer in Zimbabwe or Tanzania to compete against that. And therefore, they lose their local market, and soon they lose their land, and they are no longer able to produce for themselves, their families, their communities, or their nations.
And this is not just the rhetoric of activists and poor farmers. World Bank Vice President Ian Johnson even spoke out against farm subsidies at the Johannesburg meeting.
They are untenable. Frankly, they're untenable in the north, and they're untenable to development in the south. And $350 billion a year, $1 billion a day, taxpayers' money in the north is not used to good effect when it subsidizes agriculture and prevents the south from delivering and meeting its own obligations on agriculture.
The United States government is caught in the middle here. On the one hand, it recently renewed its commitment to control farm prices and subsidize farmers by renewing the Farm Bill. On the other, the U.S. is on record opposing the principle of farm subsidies and other trade measures that affect global food prices. The catch is that the United States won't go it alone. It won't change unless Europe changes too. And that's why this issue is one of the biggest sticking points at the UN Global Summit. Richard Harris, NPR News, Johannesburg.